everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. I am OK Fox.
And I am Lucia Love.
Wow, air horn. Damn. Let's go.
It's Thursday afternoon. Noon.
I am still unemployed. Yes.
I don't even know how you do it. I have to give myself jobs. It's like too much.
I had a temp job during the election stuff. That was actually kind of a lot. And then, I've just become like a total like Martha Stewart, like homemaker.
Oh, cute. Are you making different potato based things?
All sorts of stuff. I have a CSA. And I have to cook multiple times a day, every day, to use it all so that nothing goes bad. And
damn, that's how they get you. You know, that's that you think the CSA is cool, but actually it's got its own little capitalist claws in you, making you eat vegetables that you wouldn't necessarily eat.
I'm upholding the food supply chain. I'm directly funding the local farmers. So
yeah,
when globalism collapses, I'll still have my little farm share.
Right. They're going to be like, oh, come to us. You can leave in our little pod to the stars and we'll just valued patron.
Yeah, they won't abandon me immediately for a giant company that buys them.
Oh yeah, no. Elon Musk is gonna come by with his Tron shoes, and he's gonna be like, hello, hi, I'm
it's gonna be like Gwyneth Paltrow expands Goop into like a farm share, and then only rich people get farm shares.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
What's gonna happen.
Yeah. And she's gonna be like, this pumpkin smells like my vagina.
Yes. She will.
Yeah.
She'll be like, I use all these vegetables in my vagina.
Yeah. And she made that candle. Oh, it was this candle orgasm. Smells like my orgasm.
I know about Jesus that because my actually like on Tuesday, Kate Raft, who I really enjoy, Jack Allison's has this Twitch stream that I watch, and his wife is Kate Raft.
Mm.
And she had a big like 30-hour Twitch stream, and she got gifts. She got both Gwyneth Paltrow candles as gifts.
Oh God.
Cause she like makes fun of Gwyneth Paltrow on her show.
Puts herself out there.
But then her fans gave her the candles, like $75 candles. But as the part of the stream, they raised like $3,000 for LA Mutual Aid. So I guess that countered.
Damn, that's cool.
The bad.
So they did like a telethon, but with you.
It was like
unofficial.
It was like Kate's birthday, and Kate got all these like joke gifts, and I guess to counteract those gifts, they did the fundraiser, and the fundraiser made money for the mutual aid, so that's good.
Hell yeah. Hey, however it works.
But it's so funny, like, because I knew about Goop, and I knew that Goop, I knew how stupid that shit was, but I hadn't heard about the like vagina candle and orgasm candle until 2 days ago. So that's funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I joke with Kevin about Goop all the time. So we now, friend of the pod, Kevin. In previous episodes, I may have gone over how Goop is actually the true class consciousness that you get when a symbiote from the Venom
that's universe right.
enters into
that's
your
why I even know about Goop.
Body. Yeah, and and so then
and the Death Panel podcast talks about Goop.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they talk about it as like, but they talk about not the real Goop. They talk about the Gwyneth Paltrow false consciousness.
The false consciousness Goop. The real
The real Goop is Venom.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot. Yeah, I definitely. I mean,
you were about to say that that makes sense, but you know it don't.
I mean, that checks out. It checks out.
Yeah.
I'm in a very agreeable mood today.
No, it's beautiful. You know, the sun's been shining.
I saw two of my friends in person this
week.
Whoa,
go ahead.
I know.
Take it easy there.
I think that really did improve my mood.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it. Honestly, having a project, seeing a friend, chilling.
Yeah.
The world can go to hell, but as long as you have those few things to hold on to, you know, what else is there to worry about?
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, I feel kind of crazy because, like, well, I always feel crazy because I'm like, I have some sort of mental health disaster that I've never been able to figure out, but my recent thing is sorry, I lost my train of thought like almost entirely.
trust me, I'm crazy because look, there's a bird outside my window.
I've been doing that lately. I've been kind of forgetful.
No. Maybe it's because COVID is giving everyone brain damage now.
Well, fuck. Yeah, but that apparently that's not... So I was reading someone's thread about that not being... Like, that happens with a lot of viral infections, that it can get to the brain.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's also... It's like there's a number of things that cause that, and one of them being, like, oxygen shortages. So
right.
If you're on a ventilator or something, like, they're saying, oh,
sense.
Even if you're asymptomatic, it'll eat your brain or something. I'm like, you know what, news?
Oh, fuck.
Just get out. Just get out of my house. Leave. You weren't invited, and you're just popping up everywhere. You're telling me all kinds of contradictory information, like, oh, you're fine. Never mind. You're gonna have brain damage. Like, you know, I'll take it as it goes.
It sucks. Like, fuck. It's, you know, it's nice to have figured out, you know, it's nice to have free testing now. That took forever, way too long, and people died because of it. And people are still getting fucked over by the testing because, like, then they're, okay, it's such an interesting study in supply line stuff, because they get the tests, right? And then, like, nobody's using the tests. And then there's, like, a big campaign, and then people start to use them. But then there's a clog in the labs, where the labs are all backed up. And so then, like, for a lot of people, the tests, they're taking, like, 7 days to get the test results back, when at that point it's just like you could have gotten reinfected.
Yeah, right? I took a test last. I took a test on the 4th of July, and let me tell you, I have not gotten my results back yet.
Yeah, how long that's been? Yeah. Mine took a week. Mine took a full like 7 or 8 days, and I'm just like, okay.
Like, yeah, I'm this probably is silly.
Like, but if I was somebody who was working at a grocery store every day or something, it's just like, this is useless.
Yeah, like, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But we know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody needs to hear it. Hey, guys, did you know our system is failing?
I'm discovering new ways. I love when it's like you figure out, like, this is liberalism, but you figure out one Band-Aid and 12 other Band-Aids pop up, or, like, need for Band-Aids pop up.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I just kind of am ready to live like I wasn't expecting things to work out. So when people describe in detail, like, well, you see, it's so this pipeline, and I'm like, yeah, I know. I took a test. Still don't have the results. I know. Nothing about it, though. Oh, anyway, yeah. I'm going to draw a nice picture of something nice. Something nice. Think of something nice. Fuck.
Think of something nice. Yes.
Yeah. No. I haven't been... well, kind of nice. Actually,
Yeah, your paintings are like very intense.
Very much fire. Very much.
Yeah.
The last painting I did is called High on My Dark Horse. And
it's beautiful.
Thank you. It's actually, the image is inspired by this festival that happens in San Bartolome in Spain, where these, you know, people who live there have this like ritualistic celebration of Saint Anthony, where they ride horses through these burning pyres, and then they have this big feast, and it's all in order to like cleanse the village of disease.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's also like some other little tidbits of symbolic stuff going on in there, like the upside down triangle on the hand of the riding figure in this painting.
Wow.
It's like, that was kind of going around in the news because of Trump's whole thing about like, oh, these leftists are like political, you know, prisoners. Like, we gotta round up all the extreme left and make sure they don't communize us to death. And then, but the thing is that upside down triangle is also the alchemical symbol for water.
Wow.
So it's like the water is in the rider's hands and they're riding over these flames in order to purify their place of from disease.
That's really neat. Like, I was just thinking, I was on the phone with my friend thinking about like mysticism and religion being a way that people controlled diseases in a way, like different faiths not eating pigs or shellfish.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, you know, because like, you know, a pig is like this perfect vector for a lot of like diseases to humans. And I don't know much about it, but it's like, it just like ancestors, like
yeah, ancient Judeo-Christian yeah. roots of,
and Muslim too, like don't eat pork, like don't.
Oh yeah, know. That's true. Yeah. It's funny how that evolves too, because it's like initially there's some sense of like, oh, this might really screw us up. Oh, but let's talk about it like God doesn't want us to do it. And then yeah. and then it is just kind of turns into like, yeah, we don't eat pigs because pigs are like pigs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like it all gets lost, but it's like there's like a public health reason for not doing it too. Or like it reminds me of like how American Christians used to, I guess this is a Jewish thing too, but you like you eat different types of things for the different days.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think that helped with like the farmer schedules and the distribution networks, of a lot of communities to like have it regimented like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it makes sense if you just need enough corn for one day instead of 7 days.
Right. It's like, this is corn day. Yeah. But it wasn't like, it's like.
Yeah, I know. It's just an example, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, these are the days we eat dairy or whatever. Like, it was like yeah. stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting all like food history with my new Martha Stewart lifestyle and thinking about. Like, yeah, like, oh, people ate this way because like there was like an abundance of these things. And so they would have to like make something with it for it to last longer or like, you know, whatever.
Oh, sure.
Instead of like wasting it. Like, you know, I just always think about the pile of potatoes that we talked about on here.
Yeah.
Like how it's like,
you could do a lot of things with those potatoes.
So much. Like, and
Yeah. Oh. No, so I mean, there is like a way of cooking where you take all the leftovers and then you use them for another meal, and then everything ends up like, I think all roads lead to a kind of chili sort of looking thing, which is great. And, or, you know, or you just eat hardtack. Yeah, I was reminded, though, you were talking about, like, the kind of mysticism that went into public health, and it just, like, makes me think of the bubonic plague, when people used to cut the heads off of chickens and then put the chicken head on the bubo.
Wow.
Yeah, and they would just be like, oh, it's gonna help you.
And that is maybe the opposite of...
maybe this is good. Yeah, it's the opposite of, like, not eating pig on certain days. Yeah. They're like, let's take the raw meat and put it in your wound.
Yeah, let's take the raw meat, put it outside, get more rats to come to our house.
Yeah. Well, they thought, I mean, but the interesting thing about it was, like, the logic that that built up to the conclusion of, like, oh, maybe, like, the chicken has, like, fresh blood in it, and you need fresh blood because you don't have it, and, like, we don't actually know where this whole thing is coming from, because we haven't, like, we don't have the technology to identify the disease in rats, so, we're just, like, and also, like, the city's, you know, all locked up, and all the nobles and the people of means have left, so we're just, like, scrapping for whatever we got around.
Right.
And they're like, oh, let's try this. Public health, y'all.
Yeah. And,
they don't necessarily know what they're doing out there.
No. God. Yeah, and that's, the mistrust in the institutions are a big, big part of the problem in a lot of areas of the country that have just been abandoned, you know. It makes sense that, like, people are lashing out against, like, and don't trust things. It makes sense that there's, like, conspiracy theories about Bill Gates, right? Like, that makes perfect sense, like, to me, because he is an evil piece of shit. It's like, I might disagree with their conclusions, but there is, like they, you know, like, I'm talking about the type of people who are, like, super anti-vaxxer, like Kanye, right? Like, is running for president.
Oh my
God. And he's running on the Bill Gates is evil and vaccines are against God.
Which could garner a fine amount of favor, actually. Like,
honestly, it could. It really could.
I'm a bit miffed that Kanye got a lot of PPP grant.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? He's not a small business. He's a big personality. What's going on with this system? It's almost like it's broken or something.
It's almost like it's broken. Instead, we're just going to, like, micro-target on all of these individuals and forever.
Yeah. Like, oh, great.
Another one. It's like, oh, it's almost like the problem is deeply, deeply interwoven and systemic, and it was intentional for these fuckers to get the loans. Like, you know, like, of course it was intentional. Like, not, it's not surprising at all. Like,
yeah, it's almost like the people who created $1 trillion and then $1 trillion more to give to the stock market also, like, wanted to give money to their rich friends or something. It's so weird the way that all just works that way. And then they were like talking about this austerity thing. Never heard of it. I'm like, Reagan, Reaganomics, what?
I love, like,
I just got here yesterday.
Yeah, the people who are like, the people who are like so anti, like, trying to like reach and convert, like, Joe Rogan people. They're like, oh, evil, or like ugh. That's kind of what I was getting at before, when, like, people just, like, wholesale abandon these, like, misinformed, like, conservatives who are just, like, they're fucked up and they believe fucked up stuff, but it's not their fault. Like, it's not an individual failing that they deserve to be killed over. It's like they're people who are being used by this system, and they are like being it's not necessarily their fault. They because they know they're getting fucked over, and they just like don't have the tools to quite grasp how. But like, yeah, because then it's like the same folks who are constantly shaming that type of person are like, so like, Reagan though, we must like, you know, venerate Reagan, like.
I just think the moral panic around each other's behavior,
right,
is eternal, and yeah, is like going to be something that people have to divest themselves from at a certain point if they want to live on their own terms, because we have like these waves of dealing with public topics where everything is synchronized, and it's like, oh, we want you to feel a kind of mass hysteria about something or some other thing and not really explain to you where it's coming from, so you can just fight amongst yourselves and blame each other,
right?
And like, it's pretty unproductive, actually, I would say.
It is. It absolutely is.
Dude, my cat is like wants to torture me. I don't know why.
Why? She just wants to play.
Yeah, she wants to like eat all of the things that have electricity running through them.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, don't do it. And she's like, but I thought you loved me.
Oh my god. Oh, she needs something else.
Yeah, now she's eating packing tape. It's fine.
Okay, well, that one's a little better. I like to give my cat pens and pencils to play with.
Oh, yeah. My cat has a toothbrush she really likes.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it keeps her teeth clean.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, but she's just like, I don't want toothbrush. I want electricity.
Your laptop charger.
Yes. Oh, my god. Dude, oh. Treats du jour.
Bippy. Yep. I think what we're sort of talking about, kind of like, I don't know if people like, because we wanted to talk a little bit about like the education system, and like right now people are like super overwhelmed, like because they have to like, you know, I really feel for parents who are like trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah. Oh, like, it's insane having to deal with like, well, there's the trauma of your kids losing all of their key like socialization time.
Yeah.
Which, who knows? I mean, Maybe it's better. Maybe the kids who don't go to public school will be free from indoctrination and they'll all grow up like Steiner students or something. Like, they'll all learn how to knit and like grow tomatoes and stuff. They're gonna be better.
It'll be like self-sufficient.
Yeah, but then also like incredibly closeted.
Yeah.
And freaked and afraid, out.
Yeah. Fall. Like, it's sad. Like, I definitely see the kids in my neighborhood like socializing all the time and hanging out like it's a normal summer, but like when the school year starts, like when the school year was still going on, it definitely seemed like a lot of just overextended parents, like, you know, you just get laid off and then now you have to be your kid's teacher.
Yeah. It's kind of nuts. Yeah, it's just, it's like, it settles parents with a lot of responsibility. And then it just, like, the entire education through line to, like, you know, schools of higher learning, it's all crumbling. Because it's like, right. Okay, so when you look at it, it's not just, oh, my kid didn't get to go to grade school for this amount of time. But then, so then what college do they go to when all of the colleges are also, like, they're just hemorrhaging faculty. Yeah. And, like, it's insane. Like, the SUNY, or I mean, CUNY schools, like, they have, like, 30,000 faculty in their union, and they're all like up in arms because of the thousands of people who were fired. And like, it's crazy because the school system got $250 some million given to them from the federal like aid CARES Act or whatever. And they're just like, okay, well, that's cool. We're going to keep the money and we're going to cut all of this faculty and then, you know, just totally disrupt, like, you know.
Yeah, it's evil. Austerity is fucking evil. Like, there's, like, the city is pretending so much. Like, the budget shit was a fucking joke. Like, and, like, To freak out about going into debt during an emergency is stupid. Go into debt. Everybody needs to keep their fucking jobs. Like, and like, you yeah. know, and the left has been putting out plenty of proposals to get more money from the fucking, you know, from the fucking day trades, from the fucking, like, you know, billionaires that live in the city, like,
yeah,
insane. Like, and instead, like, Cuomo and de Blasio, like, feel like I don't know, we've talked about this in the past, like, they put on a show, they put on a play, right? They put they're pretending, so that,
yeah, they're cutie fun guys, got everybody, like, let's laugh along with them, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
But and meanwhile, it's like all of these you know, faculty are being fired all around in just every school. Up. And then, you know, all of the students who are left to try to seek education are seeing, like, you know, overextension in the classes that are being held because, like, the faculty that's left has to take on more. But then the students who can't meet in person at these schools are, like, if they're from another country,
international, they're being completely fucked over by ICE.
Yeah, like, ICE has just let out a statement announcing that, you know, if you are here on a visa, then you have to leave. And how ICE is going to actually, like, you know, enforce this, if you, you know, is probably going to be as bad as they've been enforcing all other border control, where they just kind of happenstantially just pick up people and take them away to a random place and they get, like, completely lost in a system and then sprayed with bleach. Like, you know, it's just, it's totally,
it
I
makes
know.
Me so fucking mad. Like, today's thing is, like, de Blasio, like, oh, we're painting Black Lives Matter in front of Trump Tower. Like, nobody fucking asked for this.
Yeah, like, that's also just, like, disgusting.
Like, it's just optics bullshit. It's what they tried to do to downplay any, like, actual potential in the protests, like, earlier in the month at, you know, at the White House. This is, like, what all the mayors have been trying to do to, you know, like, turn, yeah, to try to bring it more into the sphere of a cultural war than a war of redistribution of wealth. And, like, it's infuriating because, like, it's a show, like, that goes on national TV in this big, like, PR apparatus and Democratic Party national apparatus, that's really just being funneled into like trying, like it's them doing like you trying to like pin the cuts that they have been, you know, pushing to enact and are thrilled to be to have an excuse to enact and try to push it on to Trump when it's really their call, like, and they are responsible, and everybody in New York knows that, but like the except for, you know, like wealthy people who are tuned out and just watching MSNBC or whatever, but that's right. Not the majority of New Yorkers at all, and in fact it's like this, it's more this national Democratic Party apparatus that they're talking to just like, you know, shovel fucking George W. Bush Biden down our throat, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's, yeah, it's bad news, folks. It's bad news.
And yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to get so off topic from education, but like, you know, they're trying to undercut like the massive teacher strikes that have been happening around the country. They are trying to downplay that shit as much as they can.
Yeah. And then in the meantime, it's like you look at what is functionally happening to people's lives, even if they are like maintaining positions, like say now that you are a faculty member in a college, you are also like, I'm seeing posts from people who are like, oh, well, if you are here on a visa, and you're one of my students or you're enrolled in the school that I work in, let me know because I will personally sign you up for an independent study so that you don't get deported.
Yeah.
And like, wild. That's just stuff that people are doing out of the goodness of their hearts to make sure nobody gets lost in the system. But again, I guess I wanted to mention that because of course, like, yes, the system is crumbling in all kinds of ways, and we can look at how many ways it's fucking fracturing, but then we should also start looking at the ways that we can help each other, because if there are just these, like, lone educators out there, like, trying to put everybody together and make sure that they don't get deported, which is like so far outside of their job description.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we just need to make a new system for like to buffer this or to, you know what I mean? It's like, yes, I know, like, it's so disgusting to see what is happening with the elites, but at a certain point we have to be like, okay, that's,
yeah, no, we can't just get like bogged down in depression about it. Actually, yeah. We have to keep organizing and acting, even if like, because that's, yeah, like I think the biggest thing I got out of our show last week was thinking, like, and I want to reiterate again because I think it was really helpful way, like, perspective to look at the $1 billion issue about the budget stuff. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, you can't get bogged down that like that the demand was too small. You have to think of it like,
this can't, is like the first time that we really were able to ask for this,
right? And it illustrated to everybody paying attention that they will not give up even this modest demand in this using these tactics, and that just means that we have to keep revamping and figuring out new tactics.
And I mean, like, I'm still down for like, how do we actually crowdfund the general strike or something, you know what I mean? Right. Like, how do we actually convince enough like key sectors that we've got their back and that there's no reason to cater to these like people who aren't even offering concessions anymore.
No.
It's just full on down the slide.
Yeah, because I want folks to remember too, like, back, you know, we talked about this in some of our early quarantine episodes, but like, it was the organized teachers and other essential workers that got de Blasio and Cuomo to finally shut the schools down when they did. They weren't going to. Like, and everyone, a bunch of articles came out about, like, how if de Blasio had closed the schools down a week earlier, that would have saved, like, 20,000 lives. And that's definitely true. And then
I'm like so tired of these articles because you don't know how many lives would be saved if everything is going to shit at the same time and we close the schools a week earlier. All we know is that people wouldn't be in the schools, but people still aren't wearing masks. You know what I mean?
Right.
So much would have to change. That's why those articles are very frustrating.
But if people had just listened to the people who were dying first, like the fucking canaries in the fucking coal mine, the people who are dying first, instead of, you know, this, like, you know, our weird ass governor guy, like if people were listening to the workers who are actually being affected by this most directly earlier,
but they're not doing that. That's not even a thing to consider because that's not the timeline that we live in. It's like kind of saying, oh, well, you know, why stop there? What if everything just was perfect and we had a vaccine and we also had Medicare for all?
I'm only saying that to illustrate that, like, it is these, like, people who were organized and who were, like, you know, critically like thinking about their workplaces is like why they got de Blasio to shut down the schools like as early as he did, because I think he wanted to push it
to
the summertime, or like push it to when it didn't actually matter, there wasn't any actual stakes.
Well, like, he just waits to do things until there's enough pressure on him in general.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think more could be done. Like, you know, if we just keep being organized and keep on it. But it is fucking hard. Because, like, a lot of these schools, I fear, are just gonna like completely go under.
Oh yeah, no, it's happening. The quality of education is nil, and it has been for a while anyway, and now this is just compounding issues. And, you know, I mean, same with all the other structures that we're dealing with, but this one in particular, you know, had a lot of kind of, it's like education had so many responsibilities like shoved off on them. Like, you're a grade school, why don't you also be a place where kids can get food? Right. And also you're going to be like a mental health facility, and also you're going to be like some kind of like a penal system, you know? Right. Like, right. It was already completely strapped to begin with, and now we're seeing it, like, we're not sure if people are going to go back to classes in person or not, but for the schools who are opting to open up, they're also signing, like, they're like trying to figure out ways to have waivers where it's like, all right, you can come here, but just know, like, you could get COVID and we're not responsible. So this, again, is just, it's just another move of saying, like, everything is on the individual.
Right, right.
Everything is so completely on the individual at this point that there is no reason to think about, like, siding with any kind of establishment.
Right, right.
Like, at this point, they're not giving us anything to side with.
Right. God, when the legal frameworks get involved and muddy all this shit up, it just makes me so mad.
Like, it's crazy.
Like, it makes me mad. I remember first examining that feeling when it came to like presidential stuff, when every single person was like, you can't not vote for Hillary. You can't not do it. Because Supreme Court, you can't not do it. because oh Supreme Court, like this, like just baby, like I can't, like, I'm sorry, the Supreme Court fucking sucks, and I hate it. Like, too, I hate it also. Like,
yeah, abolish the Supreme Court.
Oh, and I hate when, like, yeah, when like these schools or like when these companies, you know, can utilize the courts to not take responsibility for their workers or their students. Like, it's bullshit. And it just, yeah, it's just, it's trying to take power away from the people to organize for better conditions. Like,
yeah. And it's it's pretty effective.
It is. It is.
But, you know, in other news, like, things are going pretty cool with constructing the reel.
Making your own school, yes.
Yeah, it's going, it's happening. So we have a sort of organically growing organizing committee that has developed within our group structure. Something that anybody could be a part of, but of course not everybody wants to do the boring work of actually building out the, you know, the syllabus and the
administrative stuff.
Exactly. So we kind of have a few people who have stayed after the theory reading to discuss ways that we can start branching out into other courses.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're kind of like, you know, slowly but surely, you know, it's going to take a while for us to actually get all of our content worked out, but yeah, we're going to start offering courses. We're going to start working on financing models so that we have like operational fees, kind of like based on it's like a dues paying sort of model where you don't necessarily, you know, it's like sliding scale, of course, but we're running it sort of like a union or like a guild, where, you know, we all have an equal say of like what we want to present to the group. And we can sort of use our operational fees for like, if we want to get a guest speaker or if we want to, you know, make some art or like, you know, put a show on or, you know, if we have some tech stuff that we want to buy or like, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see this, like working out and also gaining some shape as other things are like starting to fall away.
Right. Yeah. Like people like, you know, people are getting like fucking laid off from their jobs and like, you know, there's not a lot of like work right now, but you could be utilizing your skills to build something with your friends.
Hey, yeah. If you are an adjunct professor who has been laid off of an art school, you may be eligible to construct the reel.
Yes. Also try to get those grants. Try to get that $1,000 federal grant thing. That's,
oh yeah, yeah.
If you've had a 1099 in the past year, there's
it's weird because it's part of a loan program, and then you're supposed to like
you don't have to pay it back though.
Yeah, it seems weird.
I don't know.
I saw our friend who posted about that, and I was like, huh, this is confusing. I don't trust it.
I get not trusting it. There's a lot of, yeah, who knows, but
I mess with the state as little as possible.
I think that's fair. Like, who knows? Like, they'll tie. I watch them like tie unemployment into like a draft or something. That's probably what's next.
Oh Jesus!
Sorry, this is extremely dark, but
I know. I was like, wow, I can see it. You know, it's like a way to give back to your country.
Yeah, it's weird little things like that come to me sometimes.
Oh my god. Visions. Vision. Crystal visions.
Oh my god. Crystal visions. You just watched Uncut Gems.
I did. Oh, let's enter into the segment. Lucia watched the internet movie, but months and months after everybody else did.
You needed space from all the, like, you know, kind of like meme culture bullshit that popped up around it, which is totally fair.
Oh yeah. No, I couldn't do it. It was all of the like subreddit Chapo people who were like, Uncut Gems is like this, but the people who made it are like that. And did you see the person who was in it that they were like this? And I can't believe anybody cares about, they went on Chapo and they talked about that. Yeah, and I was like, wow, I don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
But then I did, and it was like a great movie.
No, it's a great movie. It's actually really good. Like, and I, you know.
It was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah. Like, I have like a friend who is very critical of the Safdie brothers, and like I respect that. The whatever it takes. I'm a dialectical mind about shit. I still liked the movie. The movie rocked. Like
the movie rocked. It slapped. It kicked ass. It reminded me of people that I know.
Like Long Island people.
Just people that I know that live like that.
Yeah.
That are like, it's so much of like the art world where yes. you get it's like always a series of like moves of arbitrage mm-hmm. where you get a thing and you're like, oh, this is worth this much. But if I sell it over here, I could get that much. And then I could put that over here because I'm in debt to these people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And oh, it's going to be fine.
The money around. Like, yeah, it's great because it takes that like that. Mechanism that a lot of these like, you know, big companies are always doing and like puts it into this guy.
Yeah. But that's the thing. That's like the quintessential American narrative. That's like Willie yeah. Loman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of tipped me off on the archetype of American as like huckster salesman that we're all trying to distance ourselves from, but there's still such a strong component.
Right.
Even in people who are the most left of left, they're all still like, you know, oh, well, I'm selling you my brand of leftism.
Right.
Because, yeah, it's like, well, this one is the cool left where we don't care about that politically correct stuff. So come on over and like right. buy yes. what I'm selling you.
No, you or watch like, them sell a story. Yeah. Like the fake watches. Like it's just like you believe you like the story or like. Well,
yeah,
or,
exactly. It's like I'm going to tell you about communism. Like yeah. it's this thing that doesn't exist, right. but I'm selling it to you so that you can like listen to my cool news podcast. Which I'm also selling you.
Right.
Yeah, and this yeah. is like the farthest away from the salesman that we can get. We're still selling because we're Americans and we're entertainers.
Right.
Yeah. And if we can get you for a minute.
Hustle.
Yeah.
It's hustle culture.
Movie. It's like, but it's also like the only identity we've ever had. Like as a country, as like an individual, what is American? You know, we're just these, like, we've always been, like, you know, we've got Western expansion, we've got colonialism, like, the things that are truly American, we've got stealing blues and making rock and roll.
Right, it's funny, because they try to sell, like, our liberals try to sell, like, the American dream, but really, it's just like guys like this who get lucky and turn a thing like,
yeah, yeah. And that's it. It's just like, we've always had this like, you know, and then, yeah, it's like the myth of the bootstraps, like
yeah.
everything we've ever learned is like, oh yeah, you can hustle. You can make it yourself. Even DIY.
Right.
It's yeah, supposed yeah, yeah. to be an antithesis to this, but it's the same thing. It's like, you can do it and you can make it. And it's like, yeah, we like we don't have anything outside of like we just go forward with our obsessions as Americans. Like the national identity. I'm not saying that everybody is like that, but like we don't really have a clear image of anything else outside of that.
Yeah, we don't have like that long of a history to go back on. Like I think there is a more collectivist mindset in a lot of other countries, because there is like a much, much longer historical like lineage and like way that people like I don't know, people like the, like there's much like more rich, there's like a lot of countries their nationalism is ends up being more collective, but I think the nationalism in America is super, super individualized.
Well, and it's been that way by design. Like the way that we crafted the American project was like with the individual in mind, and that you would be able to be like afforded this Bill of Rights or something, which is of course a complete abstract that only facilitates further exploitation. And, you know, but I'm just talking about the messaging of the way that people are like indoctrinated into sensing themselves to have a collective identity. Like, you know, we're the place where people go when they want to escape collective action. Like, you know, I don't want to be in North Korea, I want to be in America. Like where, or you know, it's like, I don't want to live in Russia, I want to go to America and I want to start my own business.
Yeah, like, it's like the type of immigrants that come here a lot of the time, not all, like of course not like one, like
no, we're talking in broad strokes and generalizations.
Like I will say that there's like there's a lot of immigrants that came here because of the United States, like the rippling effects or direct effects of United States imperialism. And like, it's really, they would probably rather stay in their home countries if it wasn't so dangerous because of like, you know, a lot of the times because of the United States. But there are a lot of like, you know, the like Cubans who like the conservatives are always like playing to, for example, and like, are extremely conservative because a lot of them were like capitalists who were kicked out of Cuba. Like, you know, it's it is like our country likes that narrative and likes to celebrate that narrative more than, you know, others that would rather see actual actual structural changes to the fabric of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just something to keep in mind when talking about, like, you know, collectivizing, because a lot of people, if, you know, if they're listening to someone go, the individual is bullshit, like, you know, collective action now, they're gonna be like, what are you talking about? Like, this is why I'm here. And it's not just, and, you know, nobody is thinking about it in terms of, America put sanctions on my country, which destroyed the economy, and that's why I'm trying to become, you know, to immigrate. It's more like, oh, this is a place where I could start a bodega.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do that, because that's something I can do. Like, it's not, you know, so if you're talking to someone, like, of course there's all these underpinnings, but again, tearing a Band-Aid off and tearing 12 other Band-Aids off doesn't help somebody who's like, look, I'm already struggling here to just to do this one thing. I'm not going to, like, have a brain blast as if I went to college and then, you know, start my own live stream. I run a bodega. And I do it because I can, and I had no option to make a business anywhere else. But how do you talk to them about, like, joining, a commune?
It's like, no, you don't. I mean, that's why I think, you know, organizing along rent and our rights as tenants is, like, another another way to go about, or, you know, building collective organizing. But it's all, you know, all that to say, like, that's like the type of conversation Uncut Gems got us to.
I know. Yeah. See, the movie is so good. Oh my God. And the relationships. I mean, his family. Yeah. My God.
Yeah. It's it's incredible. Like
the recital.
I loved it. I love the fucking. I loved the big, like, oh, was it Passover dinner? Like something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like
it was like the big the where it was like his wife and all of her friends.
Yeah. Oh man.
They're like all of them come in at the same time and they're all like, we hate you.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting divorced and
yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, what a broken life.
Oh God. But yeah, yeah, no, and it was yeah, and there was like an art world element to the movie too, the auction. So it was Christie's, wasn't it, in the movie?
Oh, I think so,
or it was something like that. Where
yeah, I forget it. Yeah, it sounded like yeah.
It really just it took me back to working in the art form office, like the idea of like we gotta get this printed in the catalog at this price.
It's important. The details are really what makes it, you know? You want to have a seamless, integrated sales experience.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
My gem straight into your pocket. Your money straight into mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's insane. The stakes, the helicopter people, how he's like a real guy with a real helicopter and he's in the movie.
Yeah.
at the casino at the end. Fuck, man. Yeah. Yeah. My friend yesterday was like, I was like, a helicopter went by. I'm like, oh, I wonder what type of helicopter that is. And she was like, yeah, maybe it's one of those helicopters that take people to JFK. And I was like, wait, what? I didn't even know that one was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's helicopters for everything. All you need is money to get them.
I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah. The helicopter that will just take you to a plane. I wish there was one that, like, you could just bypass the airport.
Right, why not just take the helicopter to your destination?
Yeah, I mean, maybe not that far. I'm a little afraid of how airports, I mean, sorry, helicopters, they all spin out.
Oh yeah, well, what was it, Kobe? Was it Kobe? What basketball guy died?
Oh, I think the basketball guy who died.
In helicopter.
Dead basketball man in a helicopter. Helicopter. Yeah, with... Yeah.
With his child, which that's awful.
Yeah. Very, very sad. Very sad. But also.
You're a billionaire with a helicopter.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And yeah, you should have known. Don't take a helicopter. Get a private jet, you dumb dumb.
Yeah, come on. You're a billionaire. Get with it.
Yeah. Take the safer option. You had a kid.
So, yeah. Gotta get, yeah, our own. You know, art consulting agency, lifestyle agency.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It's like that's our new. Yeah, and we'll abandon building a school. Abandon like.
Well, one of my goals in life was to get my pilot's license, but I was working for some people who said that if I did get a pilot's license, I could be their pilot.
That's amazing! Wow.
Yeah, so I got that to fall back on.
You'd be great at that. How much does it cost? Let's do it.
Hey, it's not that hard. I mean, you go upstate, because like they've got those little airfields.
Totally.
And then
you could stay at my mom's house if you wanted to.
Oh, hi, mommy.
Hi, mommy.
Hey, mommy. Can I have some food? I have to fly airplanes now. Bye, mommy. Bye, mommy.
My mom will be mad that, like, I'm not getting my regular driver's license.
Yeah, right? It's like, what are you doing? Your friends are flying airplanes and you're just walking around. You can't even get a regular driver's
license. My mom's not Jewish. My dad is Jewish.
All parents are Jewish when they ask what their kids are doing. That's the stereotype. What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, my parents are sort of like, what are you doing with your life? And then I've told them, like, oh, I'm basically like a homemaker. I just like cook and clean. And
they're like, that's nice.
They're like, that's nice.
Good. Good for you. We just want to know that you're doing something, not just staring at the wall. What if you told them that? If you were like, yeah, mom, dad, I'm staring at the wall.
Yeah, I'm getting super fucking high and just chilling out in the bathtub, which I am doing that too.
Oh my god. That sounds awesome.
And not like every fucking day, but it's like that is a coping mechanism during this quarantine for sure.
Oh yeah. I've been taking a lot of cold showers.
That's nice in this heat.
Yeah, it feels so good.
I've been biking. That's been really helpful for me.
Yeah, bike every day.
I can't do it every day. I'm too weak, but I'm getting better.
It takes time. I mean, I've been riding a bike for a while, and I just got to the point where I can do it all the time. But this weird thing happens where it gets more frustrating to walk. Because it feels like it takes more effort for me to walk now. Or like, it's slower. So I'm like, oh, I just want my bike.
Yeah, that's totally, I get that. Like, when I was a kid, and in high school, I biked every day, all the time, constantly. And I'd bike to my job every day. And then when I was in college, I fell out of it. I didn't feel like having a bike, like,
and you picked up the drugs, and now look at you in a bathtub podcasting.
I picked up the drugs way after college.
Yeah, well, so you picked up college, and then you picked up drugs.
I think it was just I was too, like, I had to commute every day from Manhattan, and so it didn't make sense to have a bike, really. I don't know. I was more broke, and my childhood bike was really shitty, so it didn't make sense to bring it with me. But yeah, now it's nice. It's really, 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 really feels really good to bike.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, everybody. Just to let you know, we know things are bad. Watch out. Don't trust politicians. Also, think about riding a bike, you know? If you want to get a bike, you can check Craigslist. Yeah. Or you can talk to a family member who doesn't want their bike anymore.
That's what I did, and it's great.
Yeah, we're not only an art and labor podcast, we're also a lifestyle
brand.
Yeah, yeah. And we ride bikes, and we make things happen.
Like schools and cooking.
Yeah, we make meals happen.
And Twitch stream, probably. That's happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that is coming.
If you like this premium chill content, get ready, because
it's gonna be twice as chill.
Oh my god, it's gonna be so chill. I don't know if I can handle it.
It's just gonna be like the fun little phone calls that I have with Tom and Carissa, but just broadcasted.
Hell yeah.
But it'll be really nice, because they're both so immensely creative and interesting people to talk to.
Yeah, so we're building out the cast of stars, and if you would like to join us on a Twitch adventure, just stay tuned because there's going to be announcements when you can hop on. But and then if you would like to join Constructing the Real, oh yeah, what is the Twitch stream called? It's called Business and Free Time. So if you would like to join Business and Free Time, stay tuned. We're gonna get all that up and running. If you would like to join Constructing the Real, send an email to art and labor podcast.
In the show notes, like in the show notes now it says at the end, like, here's our email, reach out to us about joining Constructing the Real or whatever.
Sweet.
And I'll start putting the Twitch stream in there too. But right now our Twitch is just Art and Labor. So it's gonna be on there when it appears.
Amazing.
That's awesome. Thanks everyone for your continued support of us on Patreon. We got some new Patreons like in the past couple weeks, and that's really means a lot and is incredible that people are struggling, I know, right now, but like that it's really, I'm really thankful that like this show is the one that you're able to support monetarily.
Yeah. In this economy,
cancel your Amazon. That's what people did. That you, I think we said it on like a really old show. Like, but yeah, cancel Prime.
Cancel your Amazon, and then subscribe to us. We will bring your packages to you.
Yeah, on our bicycles.
Yeah, as long as you live within a 5-block radius of me, I will bring a package to you.
Oh my god. Well, thanks everyone. Let's have fun out there as much as we can.
Let's have fun. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
If you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy, it doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care because I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun. Let's have fun.